RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Our New York State correspondent is Tatiana Coffinger, a lifelong camper who married another lifelong camper. They travel with two kids and two very large Labrador retrievers in their Jayco 32 BHDS. Tatiana describes her family as state park campers who sometimes dabble in the world of full hookup sites. Welcome back to the show, Tatiana.
Thanks for having me, Stephanie.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you. I'll tell everybody you're recovering from some shoulder surgery. So I took advantage of that to get you on the phone and do a couple interviews.
You're perfect timing. I'm not doing anything else. Might as well do this.
Right. And trip plan, I'm sure. That's what a lot of us do when we're forced to be sitting around. So where are you taking us to this week?
Well, this week we're going to go to Brown Track Pond, which is in Racket Lake in the Adirondacks.
All right. So we are excited to hear all about this campground that I'm sure is prettier than its name, I hope.
Yeah.
But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Jellystone Parks. And we always say after you've stayed at one of those state parks, it's nice to go hang out at one of those full hookup sites at a Jellystone Park. And they have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast or you prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities from water zones to mini golf to appearances from Yogi and friends. You'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone Park near you. Tatiana, have you ever been to a Jellystone?
I have.
Oh, you have? Okay. All right. I was going to say.
Years ago.
I was going to say, we're going to have to drag you to a Jellystone one day. You got some good ones up there in New York State. All right. But enough about those fancy private parks. Let's talk about this state park recommendation that you have. All right. New York is enormous. New York State is huge, even more so than some people who aren't from the area realize. Kind of locate everybody geographically for us.
Sure. The Adirondacks is in the northern part of New York State. It's just south of Canada. Brown Tract is in Racket Lake, New York, which is in Hamilton County. It's about 2.5 hours north and a little to the west of Albany, New York. 2.5 hours north and a little bit to the east of Syracuse, New York, which is in the center part of the state. About 5 hours north of New York City. You kind of threw me with the whole Brown Tracks thing because I never thought about it that way. And now my head is like, how come we never thought about it in that bad way? But there's a reason why it's called Brown Track. It's from John Brown, and all the land parcels up here were called Tracks, T-R-A-C-T, not K, but T at the end. And that's where all the lot of designations are known as Tracks.
Well, so if you have,
that's what we do.
Yeah. Okay. No, it is because if you have that background, then I guess you wouldn't see it that way. When you first sent me the name of this campground, I thought Brown Track. Okay. That doesn't sound very pretty.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but, house full of boys.
But now we understand. All right. So this campground is fairly remote, it sounds like.
This is as remote out there as you can get to with a four-wheel drive vehicle. Not four-wheel drive as in 4x4, but with four wheels or two wheels. We have a lot of state campgrounds that have island camping, but this is one that you can actually drive through. But it's pretty remote. And actually, until recently, I didn't realize that because it's so remote, there's like no ambient lights from like a city or a town nearby. And so it's perfect for doing nighttime photography, catching the stars, especially on a clear night, because there's no power, including no power at the campground.
There's a designation that some places get that are like, you know, dark places or whatever. And there's a designation for those night sky places. I wonder if this is one of them. Now, it's so remote that you noted to us that the entrance road is actually largely unpaved.
It's not only unpaved, but it's an adventure to get there. Because it's kind of built up on a mountain, not a high peak, but on a mountainous road, there are portions, most of it is unpaved, but it's barely one lane of traffic, which is interesting when you have like a 25 or 30 foot camper behind you and you meet another 25 or 30 foot camper coming the other way. You get really tight with your neighbors, but, you know, there are a couple paved sections that are on like the hills, but if you have a low riding camper, you might drag the back end of it. And we've done that. And other people have done it much worse than us, but it's very remote. But it's a beautiful drive. It's about 8 miles to get into, the campground from the nearest, I can't say it's a town. Maybe it's a hamlet of Racket Lake,
right,
which is it's not even four corners. It's a corner. But it's a beautiful little quintessential Adirondack town.
All right. So if you're adventurous enough to actually get to this campground, tell me what it's going to look like. What are you going to find there?
Well, there are a lot of primitive sites. They all have fire rings and picnic tables, but they are very wooded, very remote as far as sometimes you can't see your neighbors from the other sites. There's some that are up on a hill, and most of those are tent sites. I wouldn't put a camper bigger than maybe a pop-up or a truck camper on some of those. There are some bigger sites that I've seen, you know, full-size motorhomes on, a lot with water access. Some of it is you can walk down, you know, easily and, you know, put your kayak or canoe into the water from your site. Some is more like you might parachute to get to the water because it's up on a knoll. But beautiful views, very, very rustic. One of the neat parts about this campground is there's 8 exterior sites. And by exterior, I mean they're not part of the campground proper. So they're on the road in, which is called Uncas Road. And so they're just outside the campground. You can easily walk back or access into the campground from where they are, but they have pit toilets for use in those exterior sites. The bathrooms that are in the campground proper don't have lights in them, but they do have flush toilets, which just came about 15 years ago because they used to be just pit toilets, which was a little alarming when you weren't expecting that. But we don't have lights because they don't have power that runs that far onto Uncas Road. So any of the power that's running the computers at the ranger station is all by generator. And at night, that generator's not running. So when I say it's remote and it's private, it's remote and private.
So wear your headlamp to the bathroom to use it at night. So we can expect flush toilets, but don't expect showers or any sort of hot water, right?
There is no hot water. The nearest shower, there's other campgrounds in the area. There's Golden Beach State Campground, which is probably about, once you get off the mountain back into Racket, it's probably 3 or 4 miles to the west. And Eighth Lake Campground, which is another state campground, which is probably about 9 miles to the west. And they both have shower facilities. If you stay at the state campground, the shower facilities are free to use.
Now, so some of our RV friends are thinking about, you know, venturing into dry camping, you know, and this would be a mm-hmm. really great place to do it because it's a beautiful campground. You can, you know, be totally off the grid in terms of having any hookups. But then at the same time, if you really need to, you can go a couple miles and take a shower.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's, you know, the people there are just... They're very nice people that are always camping there. We've never had an issue as far as people not willing to help out. Everyone's in the same boat, you know. Everyone has the same capabilities of or not or lack of capabilities. There's no water hookups. There's no cable hookups. So everyone's out and enjoying nature. Lots of outdoor time. And you know, we've made friends through the years from camping there.
All right, well, walk us through the booking process. If you've done it a few times, what should we expect in terms of a booking window, and how much is it going to cost us?
Well, it's Reserve America, and we all know how I feel about that. The problem is because there's so few sites that can accommodate the bigger campers, you got to be there 9 months in advance when the window opens because those water sites go fast. Some of the interior sites, especially the ones on the hill that aren't, that are the tenting sites, because there's a few that are walk-in only. You can park your car, but then you have to walk down a little hill, or not far, maybe 20, 30 feet, to get to, like, a camping platform. It's rare that the campground fills up, although it's getting more full, you know, through the years. As more people are camping, it's you can't just count on walking in and getting a site like we used to 20 years ago when we started camping there. But for the prime sites, the water sites, the bigger sites, 8 to 9 months, easy to get those. The summers book up fast. It's a short season. It goes from, let's see, I think mid-May to Labor Day. They close down on Labor Day. The price is $18 per night. There's an out-of-state fee if you're not a New York resident of another $5 a night. So even if you're from out of state, $23 a night for a beautiful, primitive campground setting with non-motorized ponds that you can access and the lack of ambient light. You can't beat that price.
All right. So what kind, I mean, I'm assuming there's no other amenities at this campground, but are you going to prove me wrong?
Well, there's I guess you want to call it an amenity. I think it's an amenity to have non-motorized boats in the pond, and they're fairly decent sized ponds. There's two that connect, but there's this jumping rock. There's this, like, little tiny island in the middle of, I think it's the lower Brown Track pond. And someone has taken the time to create this like rope ladder, and it's probably a 15 foot jump off there. Great way to spend an afternoon jumping off of the rock, swimming. There's not a lifeguard on duty, so everyone's swimming at their own risk, but it's a great place to canoe around and kayak. You don't have to worry about, you know, the jet skis or anything mowing you over. Great fishing in there. And at night, you get to hear the loons. So to me, that's an amenity.
I think it's an amenity, too, because my boys will just as well spend the whole day jumping off of a rock as they would going down a water slide. So that's a great thing to have at a campground. And you can, like, kind of lie on a tube in the water while your kids jump off a rock a million times, right? And take a few jumps yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
When you get hot, you jump. But, yeah, other than that, we have floated in tubes, entire tubes out there for hours and just floated. But that's part of the fun.
Now, Tatiana, you can sort of mock me for asking this, but I feel like I have to just to emphasize for any of our listeners, like, is there cell or service out here or Wi-Fi?
No.
Right. Okay. All right. Moving on. There's not even electricity. Of course there isn't.
And the cell service, you got to drive about 10 miles, maybe 15 miles to get to any cell service, and that's maybe a bar. And that's probably, you got maybe a quarter mile where you can sit on the side of the road and get that. Really, you're going to have to drive a half an hour one way or the other to get to a cell phone range.
Now, but you mentioned...
There's an added bonus.
All right, you mentioned a generator running at the ranger station. So there's an on-site ranger presence and staff at the campground kind of keeping things in check and safe?
Yes. Yeah. There's only 90 sites, and I say there's only 90... that's a fairly sizable campground to me, but it still shocks me because it doesn't feel like it. I mean, if you didn't know and you just kind of cruised around, you'd think there's maybe 40 or 50 sites at most, but there is good ranger presence. We actually used to know the ranger for a long time, that worked there for years. And that was before Reserve America came in, and she assigned the sites, and she was very hands-on, and she didn't want people partying. She would not let them camp together, but they still have good presence. There's a lot of state workers that come in and out to, you know, clean the bathrooms and just drive around and make sure everything is going well. So there is good good presence on site.
Now, let's talk about any insider tips you have for folks that are going for the very first time. This is kind of a regular place for you and your family to return to over the years. So I'm sure you have some favorite places.
Well, we do. We've never been able to capture these sites, and this is our unicorn out there. There's two sites that are on the exterior of the campground, which are sites 89 and 90. And there's a couple of reasons I love these sites. One, they're really huge sites. I mean, I think they're probably rated for a 30-foot camper. I think site 90 is the bigger of the two, and you could probably put two, you know, 40-foot campers on there without a problem. It's a huge site. But they border this little outlet that comes out of a lower Brown Track pond. And this outlet is this little stream that you can follow down, and you can canoe or kayak down to Racket Lake. It takes a couple hours, depending on how high or low the water is. You might have to cross over some beaver dams. It might take you a lot longer if the water's lower, but it is a great afternoon trip. You can take the trip down, get some ice cream at the general store in Racket Lake, and if you're really feeling energetic, paddle your way back up or leave a car. If you have two cars, you can leave one at the bottom. We've done it a bunch of times. We call it traversing the Amazon, because you don't know what you're going to come across when you're going over beaver dams or little tiny swimming, I don't want to say swimming holes, but that's basically what they are, very sandy, or you just don't know what you're going to find. And it's a great way of, you know, doing something different than just paddling around a lake or a pond, and with an end purpose of getting to the general store. But those are great sites because they are so remote. And if you have the, you know, capacity in your camper of having, you know, a toilet and your own, you know, fresh water storage, it's a perfect place to camp. Have not gotten there yet in 20 some years of trying to get it.
Well, it sounds dreamy. I hope you do. I really hope you do get there one day. And you'll have to tell us about it. Definitely post in the Facebook group when you get that unicorn of a site. Everybody will cheer for you. All right. Now, nobody's perfect. And this is the kind of campground that you say, in a way, it is the perfect campground, right? Because you're just doing all the things you're supposed to do when you camp. You're just getting away from it all, losing that cell signal, just enjoying the beautiful, great outdoors. But what would make it just a little bit more comfortable for you?
Well, inside the campground, the roads aren't paved. They're with gravel, and they need some more gravel. As they keep bringing it in, I mean, I think there might be some sections that were paved at one point and then just kind of layered gravel over top of it. It slowed traffic down, but it's a wicked bumpy ride. And, you know, after you come over the 8 miles of unpaved road on Uncas Road, it'd be nice if you didn't have to worry about everything coming out of your cabinets the last, you know, 300 feet. It's something else to note in the Adirondacks. The mosquitoes are known as the Adirondack Park bird, but the black flies. And the black flies in May and June, there's nothing that they can do about it. But campers beware, it's not always comfortable during those months. And so,
now, Tatiana,
when you're planning.
In May, in Maine, the cutoff date is sort of typically thought of as Father's Day. Is that the same, do you know, in the Adirondacks? Like in mid-June, it pretty much goes away?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's usually, we say there's about two weeks of black flies. If you can get through the 2 weeks of black flies, you're going to be good. This past year, it seemed like it was like 3 weeks, but we had some weird weather this spring. So I think that might have had something to do with it. It's like they had a rebirth and they came out for the third week. Because it got cold and it got warm again. But it's, you know, it's very wet in that area because of the ponds. So you get mosquitoes and the black flies. Great times. If you get some bug wands, it gives the kids something to do to go out and to, you know, swat the flies.
All right. Now, I know that this campground, the whole point is getting away. You're going to give us a couple of things, though, that you can do in the surrounding area. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together. Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger two-year limited warranty. Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around the campfire with a Jayco nearby. For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. And if you really want to have a heart-wrenching Jayco story, make sure you listen to the podcast that Tatiana came on about the tents for troops and listen to her story of her, you know, just coming into the camper. And oh, Tatiana, I still well up when I think about it. That was such a great episode. Aww. Thank you for doing that. All right. But before I start to get emotional again, why don't you tell us about the fun things to do in the Adirondacks region?
Well, there's a lot. The Adirondack Park is 6 million acres, and there's a lot of outdoor activities. There's a lot of hiking, paddling, waterways, obviously in the winter there's skiing and snowmobiling is huge right this time of year. Since we're taping this in February right now, it's snowmobiles everywhere, but there's a lot of, historical and, basically how the Adirondacks operates kind of things in the area. Very close by. I refer to every time you have to get through the Uncas Road. Once you get back into somewhat of civilization, now far away from the, Racket Lake proper is the Great Camp Sagamore. And this is a great place to go for tours. I think they're like 3-hour tours. I'm not even sure what the cost is. It's not outrageous, especially if you can put it into a package. And I'll talk about that in a second. But the Great Camp Sagamore, it was built in the late 1800s, early 1900s for, I believe, the Vanderbilts at that point. This is the Adirondack look. You've seen Adirondack chairs. You know what that looks like. This is where these, you know, basically were developed. The log structures, the great fireplaces, the whole great lodge look that came from the Adirondacks. This is Great Camp Sagamore. Cool place. I think it's owned by a college now, and they open it up for these tours. And the tours are great because they explain things, you know, about the building and you know, everything that you could possibly want in a historical but cool place to go. There's several great camps. Great Camp Sagamore is the one that's open, I think, all year long. But it definitely is open during the tour season in the summer. One of the coolest things there is they have an outdoor bowling alley that was made with a ball return. And the concrete is like 6 feet deep because our frost line is so deep up here. But that bowling alley was like 130 years old, and it has not moved. It is still perfectly balanced. So when you throw a bowling ball down, it's designed to do a ball return. That's pretty cool considering this was built long before power ever made it up to the Adirondacks. I said there's a package. I think it's called the Adirondack Pass. It keeps changing names, but in the hamlet of Racket Lake, there is the Racket Lake Navigation, which there's a boat. It's called the W.W. Durant. Great little boat that takes you around Racket Lake. Racket Lake has 99 miles of shoreline. It's supposed to look like a racket, like a tennis racket, I guess. I don't see it. But you can take this this boat around. They have like fireworks cruises. They have luncheon and dinner cruises. They do moonlight. When there's a full moon, they'll do a moonlight cruise. Very cool because sometimes you can get historical tours on that as well, and they will point out other great camps that were built because this was an area that was really populated by the wealthy from New York City, and they're the ones that designed and built these great camps because this was a way to get out of the city, and people in the Adirondacks will claim this is where the word vacation came from. There's a lot of places that are claiming it, but the Adirondacks, they make a pretty compelling argument for it. You can kind of couple up the Great Camp Sagamore tour with a Racket Lake navigation on a W.W. Durant boat tour. And sometimes you can even do a third thing, which is the Adirondack Experience, which is formerly known as the Adirondack Museum. I don't know. I think you guys might have gone there before, haven't you?
We went to the Wild Center.
Oh, you went to the Wild Center. Well, that's on my list, too.
Yeah, we did it.
That's about an hour away.
Yeah. No, we didn't go to the Adirondack Museum, but we did go to the Wild Center, which was one of, like, my favorite places I've ever been to.
Yeah. It's great. The Wild Center is on the list. It's about an hour away. It's run by the state of New York, and one of the great things that we've done here. A lot of local animals, there's otters that you can see, and they have this huge bird's nest that they built. It's supposed to be like, I guess, an eagle's nest. That kind of gives you that top of the tree perspective. The Adirondack Experience, which used to be the Adirondack Museum, has kind of taken a page out of the Wild Center's book. And the Adirondack Experience was reimagined last year and reopened last year. They have a lot of interactive things, like you can pretend. It's great for kids. You can pretend like you're on a log raft and you're paddling down the Hudson, because that's how they used to move the logs when they were logging trees for paper. They would shoot them down the rivers, and you know, so there would be that experience. A lot of the, you know, how the railroads impacted the Adirondacks, you know, boats, the Indian culture, all kinds of stuff. It's all in this Adirondack Experience, and you can get a triple pass, which I'm not sure what the name is going to be in 2018, but it's like a discount if you do the three different tourist places, and you know, you get a discount and you can spread it out over a couple of days, because actually all those things, probably about a half to a full day that you want to spend. The Wild Center is probably a half day experience as well. So
yeah, that's how long we were there, till lunchtime pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, come back and you can float in the pond and canoe and kayak and swim and, you know, just sit back and enjoy nature, because that's what Brown Tract is about. It's just sitting back, unplugging, and not having a care in the world.
Yeah. And I mean, when you're jumping off that rock, maybe you want to make sure that you have the insurance that you need to be covered by. And Progressive RV customers can sign up for vacation liability, which is an optional coverage that protects you if others are injured around your RV or campsite. To sign up for optional liability protection of up to $500,000, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV. And Tatiana, thank you so much for, you know, just helping us cover what we believe is one of the kind of less appreciated RVing destinations in the country, which is New York State. I mean, there's just so many amazing, it's huge, you know, geographical area, and there's so many amazing state parks, and it's been great to kind of have you teaching us about ones that are all over, spread out across state. So thanks a lot.
Well, I'm glad to help.
All right. And we'll see you at the campground.